Well, good morning and welcome to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here on this Wednesday morning. You know, I on the text line, I've been saying we've been getting a lot of texts from people in that part of the province that was hit by the snowstorm yesterday. So as much of the province looks at bare grass and sunshine yesterday, a dump of snow. So here's a text, pictures attached. This texter says, I set a 20-liter pail out to act as a rain gauge. Never thought it would be completely covered and disappear. The yardstick is this morning's measurement. Not sure how much has already melted. This is the top of the Qu'Appelle Valley near Tintallan. And so I look at the picture. 18 inches of snow is the measurement on the yardstick. Thanks for texting in. And with the warm weather, she's going to be wet in that part of the province for the next few days with warm weather on the way. Good moisture, that's for sure. I am really looking forward to this next conversation. In fact, just since I brought it up yesterday that we were going to be having this conversation, a number of texts and people wanting to join the conversation have been happening. And we will be opening up phone and text lines a little bit later on this hour as well for you to join this conversation. There seems to be a growing number of people that are diagnosed with things like ADHD, autism, OCD. Many people maybe had a very general knowledge of, but for many years, those types of diagnoses weren't commonplace. These are conditions that maybe it was believed kids with behavioral concerns had historically, but now it is becoming more and more common. And you wonder about how social media plays into this and has turned the tables. Have we seen an explosion of people sharing their symptoms, thought processes, day-to-day life experiences like those living with ADHD? People with these conditions, they film content highlighting the differences. My attention was drawn to my guest this morning when I watched a podcast that she was part of. Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan is a doctor that says our medical system is over-testing, over-diagnosing, and over-treating patients. That's the case she makes in her newest book, The Age of Diagnosis, How Our Obsession with Medical Labels is Making Us Sicker. She's a neurologist who focuses on the treatment of epilepsy. She's written 4 books about her experiences as a physician. And I'm really excited that we have Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan joining us this morning from London. Suzanne, thank you so much.
Hi.
For taking the time.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really pleased to be on the show. Thanks.
So, I mean, you've been doing this work for a while. Maybe I'll start with what made you decide you wanted to write the book, The Age of Diagnosis?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a doctor. I qualified in 1991. So I've been a doctor for, you know, close to 35 years at this point. And it's been really hard for me not to notice the growing number of incredibly young people that I see these days, you know, people in their 20s who have long lists of medical diagnoses that they certainly wouldn't have been given 20, 30 years ago when I qualified. And my concern really is that very often these diagnoses don't seem to be leading them anywhere. You know, a diagnosis is supposed to lead to something that improves a person's life or makes them better. But I have a growing suspicion that people are getting labels for labels' sake.
So I'm curious to know, when did this trend or transition or change start to happen? And is there some positive in there as well? Is this showing advancements we've made in treatment or in diagnosis that has led to the trend that we're seeing right now?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there is something positive in there. You know, if we look at conditions that you raised already, like ADHD or autism, you know, when I was in school in the 70s, 80s, nobody was recognized as having any special learning needs. And I'm sure there were people who could have flourished had somebody realized they just needed something to be done differently. Mm-hmm. So we come from a place of neglect and underdiagnosis, and we've worked very hard to correct that. And that's clearly a very positive thing. Also in the, you know, in the realm of physical diseases, you know, people went to their doctors too late with diabetes or cancer, and now we're working really hard to catch these things early. So there's tons positive in there for sure. But what I think is happening now is that we are working on an assumption that if we just keep this process going, and we've been doing this since the 1990s, I would say, of continually adjusting what we consider to be disease so that we can find milder and milder and milder cases, what's happening is we're finding people with mild cases of physical diseases like hypertension or behavioral or learning or mental health problems like ADHD and autism that are so mild that the benefit of being diagnosed is beginning to be sort of outweighed by the harm of being diagnosed. You know, overdiagnosis doesn't mean someone doesn't have a problem. It just questions whether medicalizing that problem is the right thing to do.
You know, that's an interesting concept. Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan is my guest, and I want to maybe get you to explain that further. What is the risk that you see when you look at, you know, diagnoses happening in what you're referring to as the milder cases?
Yeah, so we can all see the obvious need for a diagnosis in someone who's severely affected by something, whether it be a physical disease like really high blood pressure or whether it be a problem like ADHD or autism. You can't deny that that needs to be diagnosed and treated. When you get to the really mild end, the borderline end of these diagnoses, where you're kind of debating where normal begins and abnormal starts, you suffer with the possibility that you are turning a healthy person into a patient, and you run the risk of a thing called the labeling effect or the nocebo effect. So what happens if you go to your doctor, a teenager goes to the doctor and they're told that they have autism? Then they begin to regard themselves differently. They may focus on the things they cannot do. The diagnosis of autism could become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Others might think less of that person, expect less of them. They may expect less of themselves. So at that mild end, labeling a difference as medical or as disorder could potentially make the difficulties concrete. And the same really applies to, you know, if we're now as adults called to our doctors and told we have hypertension based on a very borderline reading. Well, what happens to us then? Well, we begin potentially worrying about our health, or we have to declare this diagnosis on our insurance forms and our travel forms and our mortgages. So at this milder end of the spectrum, there's a whole lot of implications to being diagnosed that could outweigh the benefits.
Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan is my guest, a neurologist, a clinical neuropsychologist, and an award-winning writer. You know, I was interesting in the referenced interview that I saw you do. It was interesting to me that overdiagnosis is something that can be considered to be happening with physical diagnosis as well as mental. I think naively would have assumed that would not be the case, but there's an argument there as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just immediately think mental health problems when they hear overdiagnosis, but there's been a long-standing problem. Ever since we started screening for cancers, we have had a problem with potential overdiagnosis of cancer. So to give you the kind of figures that we're talking about, one study showed that if you screen 2,000 women for breast cancer, you will save one woman's life for breast cancer, but you will treat 10 women for breast cancer that never needed to be treated. That might sound counterintuitive to people, but when you scrutinize somebody with modern technology looking for abnormalities, you will find abnormal cells in a lot of people, but not all of those cells will progress to into a cancer that will threaten lives. But these tests are so good now, they're finding things that we don't know how to interpret. We cannot distinguish the abnormal cells that will grow from the ones that won't, and therefore we treat everybody as if they will ultimately develop life-threatening cancer. So it's inherently built into screening programs that there is going to be a degree of overtreatment. And I don't want to, in saying this, scare people away from having screening. I just want people to know that if you get a positive result back, discuss it with your doctor, and you can actually watch and wait for a while and see if the abnormality that's been found in you is actually going to grow at all.
Yeah, this is a fascinating topic, and I want to, in a second, give you a chance to talk a bit about genetic screening. But before we go there, how do we find that balance? How do we find a healthy balance between, you know, not diagnosing necessarily or overdiagnosing on mild cases, but understanding that important balance that needs to exist?
Yeah, I mean, that's such an important question and also quite a difficult one to answer. I think really the difficulty we have at the moment is we set up screening programs or we go about scrutinizing children to see if they have special needs, et cetera. And we measure the success of those programs and those awareness campaigns on how many new people we can find with a disorder. So over the course of several decades, the number of people we found with autism has grown from, say, 1 in 2,500 children to 1 in 36 children. And that's considered to be successful, now we found all these people that we didn't notice before. I don't believe that's how we should measure success. We should be doing a better job of finding out what happens to all those diagnosed people. Because at the moment, we have a great many more people being diagnosed with early stage cancer, for example, but just as many people dying of late stage cancer. Statistics aren't working very well there. Similarly, we're diagnosing a lot more people with autism, but we still have a lot more older people with mental health problems, which raises the question how those diagnoses are helping. So I think we need to stop looking for new patients and start asking ourselves, what is the benefit of being diagnosed?
Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan. So this is where I wanted to go next. I saw a writing from you where you were talking about genetic screening in healthy people, including newborn babies, and the implications of it giving you a bit of a chill.
Yeah, you know, this is an absolutely typical trend in medicine. So what happens when we get a new innovation, you know, especially if it's a really sort of dramatic and life-changing one, such as our ability now to do genetic screening of a whole human genome. So all of the person's DNA, we can now study in one day, which is incredible. When we get a new technology like that, we start out by using it on the people we know need that. So, for example, we look at, you know, families who clearly have genetic diseases running through them, and we look for into that family and we find answers. And that's hugely useful. And that's the situation in which the test is definitely useful. But then what happens is we look at our technology and we say, hey, you know, I wonder what else it can do. And I often compared this to how we behaved when x-rays were invented in the late 1800s. You know, the x-ray was invented. It's clearly a phenomenal invention that has saved a huge number of lives. But in the late 1800s, we x-rayed anything that moved. You know, if it was small enough to go into an x-ray machine, it was x-rayed. People had x-ray machines in their home. And then suddenly they discovered that, you know, x-rays cause cancer, and they realized that they were overusing something useful. We are potentially running into that problem now with genetic studies, because having found how useful it is in people with familial diseases, we're now using it as a screening test in healthy people. And that includes newborn babies. So now there are studies where we do full genetic screens of perfectly healthy babies and try to predict future illness. But we're not being entirely honest with that, because our understanding of that genetic code is substantially less well advanced than our ability to measure the code. We're getting results that we don't fully understand. And I worry that it can feel to people, you know, if you're the parent of a child and you want to do the best for your child and you're presented with this technology, you may feel obliged to take up this testing because it feels so modern and so new. I think we need to be a little bit more honest about how much we don't know when new technology is introduced.
It's a fascinating topic. I feel like we could talk for hours, but I know we've only got you for a short time. In fact, we're running tight on time. Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan, just a couple of quick things I want to talk about. I've seen a lot of things online about the impact social media can have or is having on people. There's this notion of TikTok ticks, for example. Can social media trigger illness?
Well, it's quite a complex question to answer. I mean, first of all, you know, with regard to this sort of very frequent statement that social media is responsible for the mental health crisis in young people, you know, when you actually scrutinize the evidence for that, the evidence is surprisingly weak. You know, if there is a mental health crisis in young people are certainly reporting more symptoms. There's nothing to suggest that that social media is responsible for that. That's not to say that social media hasn't got lots of harmful things on it, and that's not to say it shouldn't be policed. But one forgets that there's also a lot of positive things there, and it creates connectedness. So there's good and there's bad. So the overall effect of social media is not as negative as people think. However, as you've suggested with TikTok ticks, certainly the way that illness concepts spread around the world now is quite striking. I mean, in the past, ticks such as those seen in Tourette syndrome were mostly seen in boys, but via the medium of social media and TikTok, they've spread to young teenagers, particularly girls. So there certainly is a way that social media can spread ideas about illness very, very quickly. but I wouldn't wish to blame it on all of our difficulties as things stand.
Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan, my guest, the author of The Age of Diagnosis, How Our Obsession with Medical Labels is Making Us Sicker. My last question, probably too big of a one to use as a last question, but I will. Can you describe for us the difference between hypochondria and psychosomatic impairment and maybe how they come into play on this notion of overdiagnosis?
Yeah, so they're quite different. So what hypochondria means is what disables a person with hypochondria is the anxiety about falling ill or being ill. So a person with hypochondria worries all the time that they're developing some serious illness, and the thing that disables them is the anxiety. So a person who's hypochondriac is extremely anxious. A person with a psychosomatic disorder is really almost the opposite. They are someone who may have no anxiety or psychiatric or psychological symptoms at all, but through a sort of mind-body connection, they develop physical symptoms that have a psychological cause. So a person with psychosomatic symptoms they are disabled by real physical symptoms that have a psychological cause. A person with hypochondria is disabled by the anxiety about illness. So quite different things usually. And I think they're easily mixed up. And I think that can cause problems when someone's told they have a psychosomatic disorder and they don't feel anxious. Then they cannot understand how this diagnosis can have been made. Mm.
Is that must be a tough diagnosis to make, because often you're dealing with physical symptoms. Is it an easy connection to make that it's tied to mental?
I mean, it is a super difficult discussion to have with a patient. You can imagine, I'm a neurologist. I see people with seizures, paralysis, blindness, memory loss, very severe disabilities that have a psychosomatic cause. You can imagine how difficult it is for a person to receive that diagnosis first, because it's very hard for people to make that sort of mind-body connection. But also, these are still very stigmatized disorders, and you can imagine how difficult it is to then go to your friends, your neighbors, your boss, and to tell them the diagnosis, because people conflate it way too often with madness or feigning or malingering, when really these are incredibly serious and difficult to treat medical disorders that should be taken more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Dr. O'Sullivan, this has been outstanding. Thank you so much for giving us the time you did this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan, a neurologist, a clinical neuropsychologist. As she talked about, she's been practicing for nearly 35 years. And her latest book is out, called The Age of Diagnosis, How Our Obsession with Medical Labels is Making Us Sicker. I look forward to opening up the phone lines and continuing this conversation with you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks again to Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan, who joined us. It was a very compelling discussion around this notion of, are we over-labeling or over-diagnosing conditions, not just in children, but in adults, in society in general. She's got 35 years experience as a neurologist, as a clinical neuropsychologist, and her book, by the way, The Age of Diagnosis, How Our Obsession with Medical Labels is Making Us Sicker. What do you think? Do you think we're over-labeling? Are we over-diagnosing conditions? Not to diminish diagnoses that have had positive impacts on people's lives, and there's tons of those, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this topic. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines open, text lines open for the next half hour or so. We'll continue the conversation here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Making our way through a midweek Wednesday morning, and I appreciate you joining us. A lot of people texting in about already got their name in and asked for the ability to be present when Pierre Poilievre is in Saskatoon. That's happening tomorrow night. No different than the Liberals, the NDPs, when they had their leaders here. Mark Carney, Jagmeet Singh were both also a one-day stop in Saskatchewan. Pierre Poilievre making his stop tomorrow night in Saskatoon, and there is a way where you can throw your name in as an application to be given access to the event. We'll continue to follow that. We've, of course, thrown out. We keep in mind, we've extended an invitation to the major political party leaders at the start of this election campaign, and then once we learned that they were coming to the city and the province, we sent out a follow-up invitation to them as well. Jagmeet Singh and Mark Carney both no-go on the response to that a couple of weeks back. I was away on holidays at that time, but I know Libby had sent the invite out. We will do the same thing again, double down, and our offer to have Pierre Poilievre on the show, even for a quick check-in while he is here in Saskatchewan. We'll keep you posted on that. Thanks again. Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan was my guest at 10 o'clock, and lots of people just texting in saying they appreciated that conversation with Dr. O'Sullivan. She's a neurologist. She's a clinical neuropsychologist. She's been doing work for over 35 years as a doctor. She's written numerous books, including her latest, The Age of Diagnosis, How Our Obsession with Medical Labels is Making Us Sicker. And that takes me to the question that I'm having after the discussion we had with Dr. O'Sullivan. Do you think we're over-labeling? Do you think we're over-diagnosing conditions? And Dr. O'Sullivan had lots of good reasons why there could be a danger in that. It could be limiting. It could cause undue paranoia, hardship, concern. It could distract from a lot of things. Not to say that diagnosis is bad, because diagnosis absolutely has made a positive difference for a lot of people. And she pointed out, I was surprised to hear her say, this isn't just with mental diagnosis, this is with physical as well. There are mild cases of certain things like hypertension, even diabetes, she's talked about, that doesn't necessarily need a diagnosis at an early stage, can be more about monitoring, and sometimes a diagnosis can lead to consequences that are unintended. 1-877-332-8255 is the number. What do you think? Are we over-labeling? Are we over-diagnosing? I'm going to start with Joel in Saskatoon. Joel, thanks so much for calling in. What do you think on this topic?
Yeah, so I guess it becomes a thing. So when you talk about like neurological conditions, in most cases they end up on spectrums. So we're talking about could be very mild to extreme, right? So then she brings in the concern of over-diagnosing these mild cases. But I don't think it's a problem to diagnose them, even if they're mild cases, because it's always good to understand where these circumstances come from. I think the concern is more how do we react to it. So do we educate people enough on how these things do work on a spectrum, or in a case of something like ADD or autism, where there isn't a lot of things that we can actually do to mitigate these circumstances. I mean, but understanding allows us to use the different functional tools that could help help develop neuroplasticity for people with ADD that have difficulty managing executive function. You know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah, I do completely. And I think, Joel, I'm, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking you're saying things that I also believe. I think if we understand, then we can ensure that, for example, students learn differently, but it doesn't mean that they aren't capable of learning as well, if not better than other students, if we just have that understanding. The question is, you know, are we in some cases putting a label on someone that is actually suppressing their ability to succeed, to excel, those types of things? Do you see that as a problem?
I would say no. Again, it's like understanding where these circumstances come from is never a bad thing,
sure.
right? If I have trouble with something and we can determine what the cause is, then I can look at the tools used to mitigate that. But in terms of over-diagnosing and stuff, I don't think it's an issue of the over-diagnosing. I think it's an issue of the response in turn to that diagnosis. Mm.
Yeah, great discussion. I appreciate you calling in, Joel. 1-877-332-8255. I know a number of people on the text line are pointing the fingers at Big Pharma, saying this has actually got more to do with pharmaceuticals than anything else. There could be a case there. There could be a case made there, and you know, the whole Ozempic trend, which is maybe off the topic of what we're talking about today. And I say maybe because I don't know that it entirely is off topic when we're talking over-diagnosing. But there's no doubt that there is a tie to pharmaceuticals there as well. 1-877-332-8255. We'll stay on the phone line. I want to go to Jonathan in Warman next. Jonathan, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts? Are we over-labeling? Are we over-diagnosing conditions these days?
I'm not sure about the over-labeling, but as for over-diagnosing, there is a possibility that we are. Okay, for example, 5 years ago, I I had no diagnosis of anything, okay? My wife talked to our GP, and she was telling her how forgetful I am and everything else like that, and my GP did test, and she came to the conclusion that I was ADD, and I've been on, we did some testing, and we're at a good spot with that, okay? But my wife also mentioned to her that I was very tired, and maybe not very tired, but I was tired, I was cranky, I was being very snappy, and my GP again basically wanted to do some tests on me, and after a couple of blood tests, she found out that I was low in testosterone. So between my Vyvanse that I'm on right now and my Androgel that I'm doing on a daily basis, it has 100% changed my attitude. When I was talking with my GP a month back, I told her I was, if I was seeing all the symptoms that I had and what I'm living with now, I would have had a hard time living with myself.
Good for you. And Jonathan, I want you to know I appreciate you calling in and being able to share that. You know, sharing personal information like the diagnosis you talk about ADD a couple of years ago or 5 years ago, I think you said, and the impact that it's had. You're giving us a very positive impact. That's important perspective on this topic. And so, you know, we can't have the discussion without including people who could say, you know what, I'm going to put my hand up because I have some experience with this. And let me tell you how it's affected me in my life. 1-877-332-8255. So Chris in Saskatoon with a text that said, I'm an elementary school principal. I can't believe the number of students who come to school with diagnoses. It's crazy. It's become a crutch for the kid and their parents. They let their children get away with everything and blame it on the diagnosis. It's frustrating. It's setting kids up for failure. Apparently, there's a doctor in Saskatoon who will give a diagnosis of ADHD to nearly any child whose parents want it. I would hope that's not true. But Chris, thanks for weighing in. Because, I mean, that would be one area where you would see the impact of a diagnosis would have. Because a diagnosis of something like ADHD, in a correct context, makes things much better for the student learner. It helps teachers and educators understand what learning needs and requirements look like in a way that they're not just being disruptive in the class, but you can actually find a way to connect to them. That said, if we look at just back up and look at the broader view of classroom complexity, this adds to that discussion. There's no doubt there. 1-877-332-8255. We'll continue the conversation on the phone. Jason in Saskatoon, thanks so much for calling in. We're talking about this notion of whether or not today we over-label people or over-diagnose conditions. What do you think, Jason?
It's a tough thing. Like, I've been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. I have medication, but the only problem with that is it can make my blood pressure skyrocket. Oh. And on top of everything, I'm a kidney dialysis patient, so we're trying our best to get the blood pressure levels like as good as we can. Like when I go to dialysis, like my blood pressure's almost took in like every 15 minutes, like while I'm on dialysis. So it's a very difficult thing. Like maybe things will get a little bit better now that it's golf season, because usually when I'm active,
I like how you think, Jason. I like how you think.
For sure.
Maybe see you on the golf course, Jason. Thanks again for sharing with us. And, you know, I mean, Jason brings up an interesting point where treatment for one could provide complications for another condition or issue that you might be dealing with. So if I go back to our guest, Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan, if you missed her, by the way, this is one of those ones where I would actually encourage you to go back and give it a listen. You can check it out through the website or wherever you get your podcasts. She was outstanding. Her book called The Age of Diagnosis, Our Obsession with Medical Labels is Making Us Sicker, it would be a great read. I haven't read the book, but it would be a great read. One of the things that she talked about was this notion of genetic screening in healthy people, including newborn babies. So she said, you know, 10 years ago, we learned how to sequence the whole genome under a day, and it's allowed us to find the cause of lots of really rare diseases. So people who lived without diagnosis for years now have one. So it's been a game-changing innovation. But then what started happening was, and she kind of used the story, the analysis of the X-ray machine and how it was absolutely a medical wonder, but then it got overused to the detriment of people's health. This is what she's worried about when it comes to genetic screening, because she says, you know, if we find cancer or a cancer gene in a healthy person, that raises their risk of cancer. Doesn't mean they have it, just raises their risk. In the same way it does in a person with a bad family history of cancer. But maybe the family with cancer had some other factors raising their risk. Maybe the healthy person without a family with cancer has a gene that protects them, and we haven't discovered yet. So she worries about that when it comes to newborn screening. She says this whole genome screening is now being offered on a research basis to perfectly healthy babies on the basis that finding a treatable disease early will keep them healthy. She says, but we have never, ever tested healthy babies like this before and have little idea exactly what the results will mean. If we apply this sort of speculative testing to perfectly healthy newborn babies, how many healthy years that should be spent bonding with their parents will be spent at the hospital with appointments or disrupted by parental anxiety? I just think that's such a poignant case to make. Think about the anxiety that the parent gets tauled at a very early age. You've got your newborn baby there, and you're not being told your baby has cancer. You're being told your baby has a high likelihood or is more predisposed to cancer because of some of the genetic screening that they were able to do. I know there's an argument there to say, well, you know what, I'd rather know that because then we can take precautions, we can do things that will hopefully lower that likelihood. But in doing so, it's likely raising anxiety in parents for sure. 1-877-332-8255. Dawn, don't go anywhere. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I will be taking your call and more texts as well here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. It's an interesting discussion on whether or not we as society and through the medical system are over-labeling, are over-diagnosing conditions. It started with the conversation I had with Dr. Suzanne O'Sullivan and has continued with you. A text from Dale on the line who speculates that being on the spectrum is in many ways the new social capital. If you look at social media, I would suspect that there are some people that might agree with that. 1-877-332-8255. I want to take this call. Dawn in Saskatoon. Dawn, thanks so much for calling in. On the topic of over-diagnosing or over-labeling, do you have thoughts on that? Are we doing that today?
I don't know if we're doing it today, but I'm going back to the 1990s when I was the medical secretary and a young mom. And in the clinic where I worked, one of the doctors took the training, the forms to use to diagnose ADHD. Mm-hmm. And every young child, every one that he went through his office to be assessed, came back as being positive. It just seemed wild in my mind.
Right.
That how can every child...
Right. I mean, some of the traits that you think of with ADHD are, I would say, just common ways in which children act, right, in terms of lack of focused attention and some of those types of things. So you do kind of wonder, Dawn, I guess. And
well,
I
did so much because my son, his teacher, one of them thought he had ADHD, and I didn't think he did. Well, some teachers said yes, some said no. But it was, you know, a big interest to me, like, you know, where did my son fit? But then when it started to become popular to diagnose kids with it, it was just, like I said, it was too much. How can every patient that went through that office come out being positive for having it?
For sure. I appreciate your perspective, and thank you for sharing it, Dawn. 1-877-332-8255. I like this text, too, from Donna in Prince Albert. Donna says, knowledge is power. To be aware and empowered by the understanding that it brings. A diagnosis doesn't define who we are, but it gives us a lens to see the patterns, the changes, and the strengths more clearly. When we know what we're working with, we can make more informed decisions, seek the right help, and advocate for ourselves or others more effectively. I can't argue with that, and I don't want to argue with that, Dawn. I think that makes great sense. The question is, you know, are there cases happening where we are over-labeling, and by putting a label on, and this is what Dr. O'Sullivan was talking about, by putting a label on someone who might have kind of mild symptoms or be on the mild end of the spectrum for diagnosis, are we actually doing them more harm in the long run, or are we, as you're suggesting, providing them with knowledge that gives them power? 1-877-332-8255. I got a text here from Tammy in Saskatoon. Kids with those diagnoses need even more structure and discipline, not less, like a lot of the parents do, using it as an excuse not to be accountable, unfortunately. Bobby is weighing in on the notion that there are doctors that will that exist everywhere and are happy to specialize. And this is what Don was talking about. In one area, word gets around. It's been happening forever. Again, I give you the encouragement to listen to the segment. If you missed it with Dr. O'Sullivan, that happened from 10 until 10:30. You can check it out on our website. Okay, take a break. Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener is where we go next. Is it you? We'll find out here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.